Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. Today, I want to talk about biblical cardiology. That is, what does the Bible say about the heart? Is there a doctor in the house? Well, no, not that kind of doctor. We are talking about more like the Puritans. Sometimes we're called physicians of the soul. They spent their time not studying the medical heart, but studying what the Bible talks about when it describes the heart. Of course, we're used to thinking of the heart as the organ in our body, which pumps the blood all around. Very important and vital to keep a healthy physical heart. And sometimes it's used metaphorically in our culture for the place where the emotions are, especially love and romance. When you think of Valentine's Day, you think of all the different pictures of little hearts everywhere, and you give your sweetheart a card with a big heart on it. And that's kind of part of our culture and the way we use the word. But the Bible does not use the word heart like that in the Old Testament or the New Testament. The heart is much more significant than that. It is the place where you do your emotions, yes, but it's the place where you do your thinking. It's the place where you do your motivating. It's the place where your conscience is. It's the place where you make your choices. Oh, wow. It's complicated. One of my seminary professors said that the heart in the Bible is the mission control center of the person. So that's huge, very important. The Bible's absolutely clear how important the heart is. When you get to a proverb like Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Let me show you a couple of other proverbs just to confirm that the Bible includes all these ideas when it thinks about the heart. So Proverbs 2:10, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. So you can have a wise heart or a foolish heart. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. So this is the place of our relationship with God. This is very significant. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 5, O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. I don't see the heart mentioned there, but that doesn't hurt us at all because we want to be wise and faithful. Certainly, there are plenty of other proverbs that talk about how our mind, will, and emotion are covered by what's going on in the heart. Here's an emotion one in Proverbs 15:13. A glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart, the spirit is crushed. How about this? Next verse, Proverbs 15:14. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouths of fools feed on folly. So, and we know about Proverbs 23:7, which talks about a man thinking within himself, thinking within his heart. That's who the man is. And it's so important. So that's why we would get such a strong word to guard our hearts above all else. Keep it. And you think about keeping a garden and weeding it and making sure it's well fed and cared for. Keeping the deer out, you know, from eating up your vegetables that you're growing in the garden. You've got to keep your garden if you want the garden to prosper. Well, keep your heart is a very strong message of the Bible. Now, the heart, keeping the heart is so important because the heart is directly affected by sin. When sin entered the world after the fall, it affected the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl who was ever made after the fall. So we are not born neutral. We are born evil, and the evil starts from the heart. And I think one of the most powerful verses that demonstrates this is Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. This is one of the verses that God includes to just show, here's why I brought the flood. It's so bad. And of course, God sees in the dark, God sees in the heart, and he knows all of these things. But I just want you to listen to the stack of descriptions about the sinfulness of sin in Genesis 6, 5. The Lord saw that wickedness, the wickedness of man, was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Wow. So here we've got more evidence that we do our thinking in our hearts, but there's more. There's also intentions. That's motivations. So you might have a nice thought, but what is the motive behind that thought? Oh, that's also tainted by sin. And of course, at this point in redemptive history, it was only evil continuously. There are references in the Proverbs for perverseness in our hearts and wickedness and lust in our hearts, folly and pride in our hearts. All of these things will knock us down and affect us directly. Jeremiah 17:9 gives this very important word for us to have in our biblical anthropology, that is the study of man, and the study of man includes cardiology, the study of the heart. Of course, we're doing it biblically, not just physically, but Jeremiah 17:9 says these words, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Of course, the next verse answers that question. "I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds." All right, what's in the heart doesn't stay in the heart. So we've seen that the heart is the place of the mind, will, emotions, motivations, conscience, choices we're making. We've seen that the heart of sinful man is affected by sin. That means that every element of the heart is tainted by sin. Your thinking is tainted by sin. That's why Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful. In a sense, we don't trust our hearts. I'm sorry to say that because I know Disney's trying to make a comeback and they make all these movies that say, trust your heart. But biblically, that's not right. Of course, we don't really look to Disney to make our biblical movies. But anyway, you understand the point that I am making. So we've got to watch our hearts because we can't even trust our thinking. We can't trust some of the choices we make. Of course, we know that. We can't trust our emotions. Do you know that in a fallen world, your emotions misfire and they're not always reliable? We need to conform our thinking to the wisdom of God's word and let our emotions flow from that kind of heart, not just going on every whim or every feeling that pops up in this fallen world. Well, we want to think about guarding our hearts. And let me say this, there's a direct connection between root and fruit. Of course, I hope you listened to the Transformed podcast with Dr. Greg Gifford. He talks so much about this as he's working out God's truth in biblical counseling issues, matters of using God's word to solve life's problems. This comes up a lot. In fact, even the symbol of the podcast has a tree with roots digging down deep. Why? Why would Dr. Gifford do that? Why would Fortis Plus make that the symbol of the Transformed podcast? Because biblically, there is a direct connection between what's going on in your heart and what comes out your mouth, what comes out your life, what comes out the choices that you make. And it's not enough for us to just fix symptoms. We've got to address the root issues. We've got to address the heart. We've got to watch over our heart. I heard Paul Tripp one time give an illustration about not stapling good fruit onto a bad tree. Oh, that's a great picture, isn't it? We don't want to just go around and do that. You could get the biggest bushel of apples you could find, and they're red and delicious and wonderful, and you put it on that rotten tree, and they would look okay for a while. But of course, there's no life in that tree, and the staple's not going to hold those apples. The apples are going to be rotten before long. That's why we need to change our hearts. We're going to take a break now. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about what it means to guard our hearts.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. John Kratz in just a moment. Here's something that struck me as he's been discussing the heart. This isn't just theoretical knowledge, is it? If you're resonating with what we've been talking about and you want to dig deeper into biblical transformation, let me point you to another resource that's available here through Fortis Institute, talking about Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford. Every episode, Dr. Gifford tackles real life struggles through the lens of Scripture, helping you to understand how God's Word addresses the deepest issues of the heart. You can find it on the Fortis Plus app at fortisplus.org or wherever you listen to podcasts. It's Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. And if you haven't signed up to become a Fortis Insider just yet, what are you waiting on? And here's why I'm asking. 5 days a week, we're going to send you carefully curated content specifically focused on topics like what we're discussing today. You're going to get early access to our resources, invitations to special events, and first notice about sales in the Fortis stores. And the best part, it costs you nothing. Just visit fortisinstitute.org right now and sign up to become a Fortis Insider. And you know what else is incredible? Every week we're receiving messages from people whose lives have been transformed through solid biblical teaching. That's why we've done what we've done with Fortis Institute. We've brought together 8 new voices, trusted teachers who are helping believers like you understand and apply God's word to every area of life. But the thing is, we cannot continue this work without partners who share the vision. If you believe in the importance of biblical teaching that transforms lives, would you consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And also, let me be clear, I tell you this all the time, but if you're facing financial challenges or you're still working on getting your giving to your local church where it needs to be, then don't feel any pressure from us, okay? Don't give to us until those areas of your life are taken care of. But once they are and you're able to partner with us, would you please start praying about it? Because your support helps us continue creating resources that point people to the transforming truth of Scripture. In fact, we're so committed to good stewardship that 83 cents of every dollar goes directly to creating biblical content. To join us in this mission, just visit fortisinstitute.org right now to get answers to any questions you could possibly have. Now, let's get back to Dr. John Kratz. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now, back to your host, Dr. John Kratz.
Welcome back. We have been considering biblical cardiology. What does the Bible say about the heart? And the Bible tells us this is really important. It's the place of the mind, will, and emotions. It's the mission control center of the person. Therefore, wise King Solomon told his son, guard your heart above all else, for from it flow the springs of life, in Proverbs 4:23. Well, we've said that sin is affecting our hearts. All of our hearts are affected by sin. In the New Testament, Jesus himself makes this direct connection between the things going on in our thinking, feeling, motivations, and then what comes out. Of course, in the Sermon on the Mount, we know these sober words in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and following. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Okay, that's our thinking. That's our lusting, our desires, our perverse passions, if you will. That starts in the heart. Even before there's physical adultery, there's heart adultery, and the Lord cares very much about that. Jesus is even more explicit with his disciples in Matthew chapter 15, where he's explaining to his disciples, guys, it's not about what's on the outside or rituals that defiles a person. He says in Matthew 15, 17, do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. So Jesus is very clear that the issue, our front line of battle, is what's going on in our hearts. The Bible also talks about new hearts and our hearts being renewed. In Hebrews chapter 8, we see the promise of the new covenant applied to the church. And part of this wonderful promise of the new covenant in Hebrews 8, verse 10. So this comes from Jeremiah 31, and it's quoted by the author of Hebrews. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. Oh, that's just glorious, wonderful truth. Ezekiel also talks about this promise of the new covenant, that we will, that God will replace our heart of stone with a heart of flesh. And he's using, again, metaphorically, to say a new heart, a heart that loves the Lord, a heart that has God's laws written upon it. That means I'm now motivated to obey God's law. I have new desires to obey God's law. From other places in the book of Romans, I'm thinking of chapter 6, we are set free from our slavery to sin. Yes, we're still encased in the flesh. Yes, we still have sin hangover, if you will. So we're still impacted by our sin, but there is newness. And that newness is growing and being renewed as we continue to cultivate it. So I think there's a way we can apply Proverbs 4:23 to us as Christians in a profound way, to guard our hearts. Because even as believers, the remaining sin within us still distorts and deceives us. Still, we can't completely trust our thinking. We can't trust that random thought that pops up in our minds. We can't trust the stray emotion that is just grabbing us. I know this is very complicated. I'm just using it as an illustration. Sadness or depression. Well, sometimes, I mean, there's so many things behind that that could be weighing in and factoring in, no doubt, right? Even physiological things. We absolutely believe that. But sometimes, it's like you just feel sad and bad and you don't even have a reason. There's nothing sad or unhappy going on in your life. It's like, why is that? And of course, we all know sometimes people are completely giddy when they ought not to be. And sometimes it's like, wow, why can't I control my emotions sometimes? Well, we do want to rein them in and fill our minds and hearts with God's truth and have the emotions spring out of that. So very important thing. So the Lord is renewing us. The Lord has given us new hearts as Christians, but we're still impacted by sin. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Hebrews 3:13, but exhort, other translations say encourage, basically give a person what they need, whether they need encouragement or comfort or exhortation. That word is kind of a catch-all, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. This is about believers, even believers who are on an island by themselves and can't communicate with their brothers and sisters. They can't be part of church, or they're choosing not to be part of church. Bad choice. They are in danger of hardening up like modeling clay left out in the sun. You come back the next day and that thing is hard as a rock, where the day before you were able to squish it around and form it into the shapes that you wanted it to be. Our hearts are like that with the remaining sin. Even our new hearts can harden. Even our new hearts are prone to sinful deception and must continually be renewed and refreshed by the Word of God. And so that's why it's really important to have regular disciplines of reading your Bible, just so that you are continuously putting yourself under the influence and under the framework of the Scriptures. And it's vital to be part of the most healthy church that you can be part of, so that you are being ministered to by your brothers and sisters, and you are ministering to them as well. Both are very important. Let me take us to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God said, let light shine out of darkness. He has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is what renewal looks like. We are being exposed to the glory of Jesus as revealed in Scripture, and God is using that light to renew our hearts. He's making these new hearts renewed and refreshed and growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. So when you think of having a healthy heart physically, you know, the doctors will often say, you know, diet and exercise, that's really important. Well, what about a healthy spiritual heart? I mean, yes, there's some bad things we need to not put into our hearts, just like we wouldn't want to do that physically to our bodies and just eat nothing but junk food. There's a whole litany of spiritual junk food out there. A lot of it is probably on your phone, and you've maybe have already scrolled through a lot of junk food today. I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to me too. So we have to guard our hearts. This is so important. This is our goal. This is our aim. And if you think of the heart like a garden, you need to put good seeds in there. You need to sustain it. You need to put a little fence around it to keep the vermin out. You need to put fertilizer and water. And when you do that, beautiful flowers come. Fruit comes out of what goes into the heart. But the other side is neglect. Put some bad seeds in, let the vermin come, and your garden is going to be wrecked. Don't just treat the symptoms. Go to the root. Go to the heart of the matter. May it be that our prayer is like David, who prayed that the Lord would make the words of his mouth and the meditations of his heart pleasing in his sight. Psalm 19:14. We want to please God. We want to glorify God. Remember, Jesus said the greatest commandment of all is to love God with all your heart. So let's fill our minds and our hearts with God's truth. Let it warm and stir our emotions. Let's respond with good words of praise and love and adoration to our great God. And let us make choices to do actions of righteousness, actions that the Bible reveals are pleasing to the Lord. It starts in the heart and bears fruit in our lives. Don't just hear God's word, go do God's word.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.